This show was brought to you by Ouch My Ego, ouchmyego.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode, and I'm joined here today with my good friend John Bjorling.
Hey, nice to be here, man. Been a while.
Yeah, we go way, way back. We were both rivals on the video scene. He worked at Hollywood Video and I worked at Blockbuster. By rivals, I mean we didn't give a crap about any of that.
No, just got along, had a great time, enjoyed watching really, really weird stuff.
Yeah, so speaking of weird stuff, what did we just watch?
We watched Terrorvision.
Intellectual decay! Turn it off and rot your brain cells!
The Puttermans are just a typical American family. The only thing they're missing is a pet. But have we got a surprise for them? You see, Stanley Putterman's new satellite TV has just gone on the blink. And it's drawn in a creature from outer space. Like all new pets, this one's causing a little trouble around the house. And he's eating the Puttermans out of house and home. In fact, it seems like this creature will eat anything. Well, just about anything. Now, it's up to the kids to break the creature of its bad habits.
I said shut up!
But he's not responding well to discipline.
Earth children, please, I mean you no harm. I am Pluthar, here to save you.
The Puttermans finally got themselves a pet. But they never even had a chance to give it a name. Terrorvision, from Empire Pictures.
Oh, such a wonderful, exquisite piece of 80s horror comedy.
Yeah, when did this come out? What year was it? 86? I think it was
86.
Yeah. Stars John Grease.
Mary Warnoff.
Yeah, Diane, she was in Bill and Ted as one of the medieval princesses.
Yes, one of the princesses, yeah.
Garrett
Graham.
Okay, I'll hand it off to you. What's the movie about? What? Just summarize the story.
Family gets terrorized by an alien piece of trash that is trapped in its TV, yet manages to leech out and eat everybody. That's pretty much, I guess, if you go into the nuts and bolts of it, that's the basic story.
Yeah, it doesn't sound too interesting. So what really makes this interesting?
Oh, this film...
It's an Empire movie, right?
Yes, an Empire film. It's, I guess, the best way to say what makes this film so great is just the fact that it's, I think I said exquisite a little bit earlier, exquisite cheese.
You say cheese. I agree. It is a big old slice of cheese.
It's over-the-top acting.
Oh gosh, yeah. I was wondering of this about the acting. We all know Mary Warnoff is big on dorky bad acting. Like, that's her career. On purpose, I think. But do you think, because John Grease, I don't know how many things he had been in before this, but he's a good actor. He's a really good actor.
Oh yeah, but
the other actors, Diane Franklin, that's her name, she's a pretty good actor. She was also in Better Off Dead. I mean, she's capable. All right, so this movie is populated with totally adequate actors, yet every single one of them acts way bad. Is it, or is it amazing because they're told to act this way and they're following through with it?
Yes, it's definitely a little bit of the column A where they're told be as broad as you can, you know, be exaggerated. And then you kind of look at it and go, well, they're also, this is bad.
Right? I think it's that it's like bad acting, but then it's like layered because they're all good actors, just about. Yeah, it's definitely performances from all of them.
Yes, because you know, you can tell everybody's in on the joke. This is definitely not serious. It is a goofy horror comedy, but you sit there and wonder, did they stop trying, or they're trying too hard? What is it?
Did they stop trying? That's the question. I think that they're brilliant. I think that's the answer, is that they're brilliant because their performances are so crazy and weird and lame that it has to be an actual performance of that, as opposed to they just can't act right.
Yeah, but it's also, this is a film populated by just crazy things everywhere. Like,
let's get into the story real quick. I know I had you summarize it, but the story is there's a satellite dish. There's a rich swinging couple who owns a big strange house. It's a swingers.
Yeah, it's like
a swingers house. In fact, Ted Niccolo, the director, I think, and his location scout guy went and they hung out with swingers to figure out. And by swingers, I don't mean Vince Vaughn and those guys. I mean
no.
couples that like to tangle with each other, with other couples.
Which is
But
which is something you don't see in movies that often.
You don't.
This very much feels... This movie could have been made today and someone saying, oh, let's do a retro 80s bad horror film.
Mm-hmm.
But this, with the swinging and stuff like that, feels very much like a time capsule of early to mid 80s kind of weird mentality. Because they have that... They're like products of the 70s almost, like in the dress and stuff like that.
It feels like Studio 54 and Miami Vice.
Yes.
Smushed together to make this weird house, and they actually hung out with people who were in the swinging scene at their places just to look at how they designed their homes. So they put that on film. So the guy, the father, because they're parents, by the way, a teenage daughter and a tween boy. The father is trying to work on his satellite dish because for some reason it's not getting the right channels. This is before the dish. This is before cable was awesome. So I don't really actually know the history of satellite dish stuff, the DIY satellites.
Yeah, not as familiar with that.
Like,
and you just how, kind of take it as read in a way.
How many channels did they have, etc.? I'm curious about that. What kind of channels did they have? It wasn't just HBO. Was it like public access? Were people just broadcasting stuff?
You probably got a lot of, not just public access, but you'd probably receive different channels from all over the world. So you, like in the film, as they're tooling around with it, they get the, was it the samurai movie?
Yeah, they got some horror host show, Medusa, and that comes into play. Well, he's trying to fix this thing and it's not working right, and then it receives somehow this energy signal, which is the monster. All throughout the movie, also trying to knock in on their door, so to speak, is the monster's owner.
People of Earth, please heed my warning. A terrible accident has occurred. I am Pluthar, sanitation captain of the planet Pluton. A stray energy beam containing garbage from my substation may be headed for your solar system and could possibly result in the total annihilation of your species. I'm so terribly sorry for the inconvenience.
I love how he talks. He talks really great. So, but that guy pops in trying to get their attention, and finally he does. But there's grandfather, there's the tween boy, there's a teen daughter whose boyfriend is John Grease, who plays a metalhead.
Hey, you guys remember that movie? You know, the one about the little space guy. Made you cry like a butthole.
Oh, so broad, so wide. Everything, his mouth movements, everything is just so open, wide. His name's O.D.
Charge!
You gotta come in. My parents want to meet you.
Oh, wow. What a drag.
Yes. And it's that, you know, he's wearing a wasp shirt.
Yeah.
He's, you know, got the chains. He's got the skull ring. And just very typical dumb metalhead image.
Especially 1986. That's what metalheads, that's it.
Yeah, dressed like,
There's that, then the parents go out to hook up with another swinger couple, then they come back, but in the meantime, grandfather's around.
Belly down, soldier, the geeks aren't through with you yet!
The grandfather is modeled after General Hershey Barr, because he's dressed up with a bunch of military paraphernalia that's just kind of really goofy and thrown all...
Yeah, completely over the top,
yeah.
Far not believable in any way.
Exactly! The General Hershey Barr was a protester in the Vietnam era, and he dressed very much like that and stuff like this, and he would it would be satirical performance art about the Vietnam era, and they did that at all these rallies, and they specifically designed the grandfather after that guy, so you would not be able to take him seriously at all, and you don't.
And as well, as especially with the first time you see him, he's coming in, he's holding the sign that says a self-replenishing food source for survival, and it's a thing for jerky-eyed lizard tails.
Yeah, which does that make any sense to you?
Nope.
How big are these lizards that the tails are snapping off and they're making jerky out of? That doesn't make any sense to me. We're just naming silly stuff that's happening in the movie, but what's the crazy crap in this movie other than, you know, the swinger situation?
Swinger situation, they have a fallout shelter that the grandpa lives in, which is completely stacked with guns that end up coming into play later on in the film.
Yeah, the tween wields the machine gun most of the movie.
Yeah.
Which is actually unheard of back then. Like, you had Goonies doing their adventure stuff, but no kid ever had a gun. This movie went ahead and gave a kid a gun. Or like, at the end of the movie, Cloak and Dagger or something, kid might have to pick up a gun.
Yeah.
But this, the kid's running around with an M16.
The entire time.
Yeah.
He's pointing it at his grandfather. The grandfather's pointing a pistol at him. And
yeah. So, the monster is, it's a giant, it's brown, so it kind of looks like poop. It's got lots of eyes.
When I saw it, I kind of thought, this is in my head, makes me think of an infected testicle.
Oh, God.
Just, I'm going, oh, my God, this thing is...
That's
just
terrible.
The most, this thing is just foul looking.
Yeah.
And it's got tentacles.
It's got a tentacle with an eye on it. It's got,
little claw tentacle.
Yeah. It's got a claw. Right. It's got a claw. It's got an eye tentacle that's just, it's like a periscope. It pops up here and there. And then it has two regular eyes, except one's huge and one's normal size. And then it's got this big, silly, smiley face. And when it opens its mouth to bite you, it doesn't bite you. This limb comes out, which it has like 50 fingers or something.
Yeah.
And then grabs you and pulls you into its mouth and ingests you that way. But apparently this has some sort of thing properties to it, because all of the swingers, the parents and their swinging couple, somehow get eaten and mutated or whatever, and they're all laying in bed.
Hi, kid. Cherry, Sparrow, these are the kids.
Hi.
Yes.
Remember, kids, you do your thing, we do ours.
Mother, that is so disgusting.
Night, night now, kids. Try and keep it down, will you? Thanks.
Barf me out. Have any of you seen Gramps?
Right here, honeybee. Just taking care of business.
Oh, Gramps, that is totally sicko.
I thought it was a monster.
That's okay, Sherman. Someday you'll understand.
Well, just...
But they're basically being puppeted, and they're all slimy. Oh, what a gross scene.
Well, it's like when they're looking at the grandfather the first time after he gets eaten, and he's covered in slime. I'm finishing up. And he's like, oh, that's...
Yeah. It's just really nasty. Like, there's a lot of subversive humor in this, and it's not a smart movie. Like,
no.
Like, it seems like they're all having fun. But this comes from the film company called Empire, and they were responsible for the first movie, Troll, and they were responsible for Reanimator. Later on, they dissolved, they crashed and burned as a company, and then turned into Full Moon, which, this stuff is better than Full Moon.
Definitely.
Because, I don't know if it has a budget. It has moxie, surely. It has that. But it doesn't have what Full Moon had. It was a lot of cynicism. So they belted out a bunch of cheap and dirty films. And then they did it just to get them into the video shelves. And then rent to unsuspecting renters that either hated them or were indifferent to them. I don't know who really loves Full Moon movies.
Yeah, it's like...
I'm sure some people do.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time even just thinking, like, do I like any of those? Yeah, it's like nothing comes to mind. Whereas, like you said, Reanimator and Troll, especially Reanimator, Reanimator's great.
Yeah.
And this is just fun. This is just a good, entertaining...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can tell that they were just... It's almost a kitchen sink movie. What else can we throw on there? Well, so they try, instead of calling the cops, which they do call the cops. Cops won't listen to them. They call
the TV show's
TV
Medusa.
Show host, yeah. The horror host.
Medusa?
Well, who's this?
This is Susie Putterman, business manager for the monster from outer space.
So tell me, Susie, is your whole family a little cuckoo?
Please, Medusa, this is serious. He's a real live monster.
Also, she's a very cynical Hollywood type character. All she wants to do is like make a name for herself. So they tell her that there's a big party.
And the monster, yeah, and the monster is there.
A bunch of, yeah, a bunch of movers and shakers are going to be there. And, oh yeah, the monster.
And we're having sort of a party for him here, right now. A real fun party.
Party, huh?
You could just come and take a look. No obligation. He's going to be a big sensation. He talks in everything.
And so she's like, oh, movers and shakers? Yeah, not interested in the monster. Okay, so she's also way top-heavy, and it's kind of obnoxious how top-heavy she is.
They do focus on that every now and then, didn't they? All of a sudden, it's just a shot of her rack, and that's it.
Will you look at those hooters?
Holy tomato.
Yeah, very much so. And then she comes in, and she she ruins the movie. She ruins they're like about to get, the day is about to get saved, and she destroys the only thing that can save them. Basically, that's the movie. But there's something ridiculously, I guess, charming about it. Everybody's having fun.
It's got one thing I really liked about this is its art direction, because you have that satellite dish remote, which is the least functional thing on the planet. It's amazing. Just so many buttons. It has its own satellite dish, if I remember correctly. Yeah.
Yeah, and it twirls around.
And, you know, you go outside, and their backyard is very obviously a set. So much that I think you see a corner in the background.
Well, I liked, not that I liked the subject matter of the paintings, but the paintings, they were painted. They weren't just, you know, some, they were somewhat like Nagel paintings from the 80s.
Oh,
like the Duran Duran cover. That's, I think we're done.
Yeah, it's not a film that has a lot of subtext or anything.
it's not layered. It is a time capsule.
Although
what you just said earlier about it being like, this is what it looks like to be 1986 in this affluent suburban swingers. I hope I never knew any parents of friends who were swingers and I was just oblivious to it. I hope they weren't. Can you imagine?
Man. Just with that sort of group, you just, especially the mom when Odie is first introduced and she's just kind of looking up and down.
Hello, Mrs. Putterman. Beautiful outfit.
Why, thank you, O.D. You're sweet.
He's kind of like, this is creepy.
Yeah. Oh, he's cute. Whatever. Every mom says that their boyfriend is cute or whatever. Or possibly.
Yeah.
It all depends if
But there is context to that where you're kind of going, if we saw, say, there was no monster, we saw a week later. Yeah. You'd see the mom putting some moves on that guy. And, oh, no.
The mom's the monster. Yeah, it's here's what it's like. It's like a Mad Magazine parody of something that existed before, but it's not a parody of anything that existed before. It is its own thing. But just imagine Mad Magazine parody of some It Came From Outer Space thing mixed with whatever else.
Good kind of points. It's kind of like It Came From Outer Space mixed with The Thing, but seen through the eyes of Mad Magazine.
Yeah, that's exactly, that's quite possibly why I like it so much. Dang, that's cool.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah, so if you want to see this, Shout Factory has a double featured Blu-ray of this, which I don't have, but I really, really want to get, because it has TerrorVision, but it also has The Video Dead, which is not a very good zombie movie, but it is also one of those that the people who made it put their heart into it, and it's ridiculous. But I've always wanted to have a video revival store, not just VHS, but DVDs, Blu-rays, whatever, but have it called Video Dead, just as a reference to that movie. So that's out there, but it's on YouTube. Somebody put it up there, so, and it's high res, so I don't know. YouTube.
It's definitely worth checking out.
Either way, it's definitely. Wish we still had video stores. Well, here, actually, where I live, there is a Blockbuster.
An actual physical Blockbuster.
Yeah.
We have one video store out here, too, but hours are very weird for it, so it's almost not worth checking out.
So, would you, you would recommend this, but to whom?
Pretty much, I would say that if the people I would recommend this to, I would definitely go anyone who enjoys A, cheesy horror films, B, 80s. Because this is, like we said, it's a time capsule to the 80s. This is very much, if you want to see, and it's about to be redundant, an encapsulated vision of the world in 86, this does give you a pretty good example. The hair, the costume design, everything there is just kind of exaggerated, but a nice little picture of this.
So, anybody else? Like, I feel like this, when I would bring videos over to you guys, sometimes I would bring something that I knew that you guys would have no clue what it was, have no expectation of it. So, I eventually you guys did get the expectation. Oh, he's gonna bring over another weird movie, right? So,
but it was always going to be an entertaining movie.
Yeah, I tried for that. Yeah,
actually, this would be a very good Halloween movie.
Yeah, I don't even know why I never. Yeah, I don't think I ever heard of it when I was hanging out with you guys.
This is actually the kind of movie that you just want to get a bunch of friends together, have some beers, just laugh your butts off, because this is silly.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing that this is. So I would actually just try to have a mixed crowd, like people who are totally, duh, I like Mystery Science Theater, and people who don't like Mystery Science Theater, but like a regular old movie, you know? I don't know. A regular person. Like, they like Ghostbusters. See what their response is going to be. That's what I think. That's actually, I think I'm redundant in saying that stuff about Ghostbusters. I just think that normals like Ghostbusters, and the people that pat them on the back, pat themselves on the back for being quirky and odd, like MST3K. The two different, the barometer.
Well, it's definitely a film that if you're into MST3K, this is the sort of thing you would expect to have seen on.
Yeah, I don't think they have done it though. I don't care if they have.
I doubt it.
But
I doubt it.
Yeah, but Shout Factory has it, so look. Look it up. I'm not sponsored by Shout Factory at all, but I don't mind if I was. If you hear this shout, here's a free advertisement for you.
Give me stuff.
So, thanks, John.
Thank you.
I'm glad you're here, having watched this movie.
I'm glad, because I'm surprised I hadn't seen this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's how it was when I discovered it, like, what, 8 years ago or something. On that note, we'll have you back on, because there's lots more weird to watch. And
awesome.
there's going to be some stuff possibly that you'll hate, hopefully, maybe, because that also makes for... That might make for a good show, or stuff that you'll really, really like, or something. The indifference ones are not fun.
It's good to have a reaction one way or the other. Indifference, just, I have no opinion one way or the other.
Yes, that's no fun. On that note, I'll catch you later. Until next time.
Thank you. Makes me think of an infected testicle.